This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio and me, Matt Beadle, with you for around 30 more minutes on this, our Friday night fan show special. What a show it's been. What a bunch of shows we've had tonight. Plenty of chat from the Chelsea boys, from the Leeds boys, the Sheffield Wednesday lads. Always good value. Spoke to Cardiff as well. Josh Goldsmith from Brighton. Getting reaction from him on Balloon Gate. What will happen with those Brighton players who are out in Spain having it off with some balloons? I say having it off, I should say inhaling from balloons. We still don't know exactly what was inside those balloons. Was it illegal? Who knows? Brighton have launched an internal investigation, so we'll hear all about that next week, no doubt. Stay tuned to Love Sport with all those updates, particularly with the breaking news that Manchester City have been banned from European club competition for 2 seasons after being found to have committed serious breaches of UEFA's club licensing and financial fair play regulations. Fined as well, €30 million. That is in and around £25 million. Of course, there is an appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. City have released a statement. They're disappointed, but they're not surprised. They were expecting this. We saw the emails leaked in Der Spiegel last month about their potential financial irregularities. We've seen back in 2014 that they were fined and not banned. They seem to have some sort of handshake with the powers that be on that occasion. On this occasion, it is the independent adjudicatory chamber of the club financial control body who have said that City broke the rules by overstating its sponsorship revenue in its accounts and in the break-even information submitted to UEFA for those 4 years between 2012 and 2016. Apparently, they failed to cooperate in the investigation. Stay tuned to Love Sport with all the latest news on that one. City banned from European club competition for 2 seasons. England will still get a fourth representative in the Champions League, but what does it mean for those teams chasing what is now fifth spot? Will it be the team that finishes fifth? Will the team that finishes eighth go into the Europa League? Or will there be suddenly a late extra incentive for FA Cup winners? Who'd have thought it? The FA Cup winner going in to the Champions League. Like I said, all the news will be revealed here on Love Sports, and make sure you stick with us. Right now, however, it's all about the Terriers, the Huddersfield Town fan show here. We are going to be reflecting on those defeats to Cardiff and the win, of course, against QPR last week. On the line now, we have Matt Shaw from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Hello, Matt.
Hi, good evening. Are you okay, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, buddy. Great to have you on the line. Before we get into it, I've been asking each of the fans on tonight's fan shows about this news coming out of Manchester City. As a football fan in general, what do you make of this?
Good question. I've only just really seen what's happened. I've got a bit of a disconnect, to be honest, with sort of football at the very top end. You know, the whole money situation makes it. It removes it from, you know, your sort of working class individuals who go watch the game, and it is a bit of a vulgar situation in many ways. And there's a recent article come out detailing that by, I think it's Miguel Delaney, in the last few days, which is a fantastic read. My first instinct is that it won't stick. We've seen with Barcelona, you know, when they've got the you know, other clubs have got transfer bans, etc. They take it to an appeal and it usually gets reduced or thrown out. So my first instinct is that it probably won't stick in the current guise that it is, but the rules are there and the rules shouldn't be broken. So hopefully something sticks for once.
It's interesting you say that, Matt, just about the fact that you have this disconnect from the top flight and all the money. And that's, you know, the general consensus really through a lot of Football League fans. And I posed this yesterday. We had David Prutton. Of course, he's on TV right now, I think, reflecting on the draw, the cracking draw between Hull and Swansea today and looking ahead to the EFL games. And he was on the show yesterday and I posed to him the fact that so many Football League fans are quite disillusioned with the top level of the game. Yet at the same time, that's the ultimate goal, right? You want to get there. And I know that Huddersfield have been there and they were there for two seasons in recent times, of course. So it's weird because we kind of sneer at the top level of football, yet the dream is to be there.
It's such a strange sort of paradox, isn't it? That it's, I think the way football is, it makes you feel that you need to be part of the Premier League. I think financially, a club like mine, financially can't say no to getting promoted. The benefits that come with that, you know, in the background, we're able to improve the stadium, we're able to improve the training, you know, the training facilities are being upgraded. And these are the sort of things that you can't really afford to do unless you've got a very rich benefactor in the background willing to bankroll such things. And I think financially, the Premier League just gives you so much or gives you the opportunity to do so much. But I think essentially, unless you're very smart and very savvy about it, I think you end up chasing the money. And it's very easy for a football club, but you know, you don't have to look too far from Huddersfield down the road at Bradford and Leeds. If you just use that money to pay players, then you can get yourself in a very sticky situation. And in Bradford's situation, I don't think they've got really anything to show for being in the Premier League for 2 years. And I think that's something that Huddersfield were very keen to not do. And you know, at least we can say we're in the Premier League for 2 years and we've got this new training system, you know, new training facility out of it. So there is this disconnect. And I love what Sheffield United are doing this year as well. Sheffield United have perked up my interest in the Premier League. You know, it's against the odds. And I really hope they push on to the top four. It's a great club and they're doing great things. But yes, do we want to win the Premier League? Yes and no. Financially, the football club needs to strive for it, sadly. But, you know, you take the top six away and it's quite a good league.
Yeah, anyway. It's not a bad league. It's not a bad league at all. And great points there. That's Matt Shaw from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. This is the Huddersfield Town Fan Show. We're going to speak to a caller, Chris, in a moment or two. He wants to speak about Huddersfield's inconsistency in recent weeks. But I've got to bring in the legend that is Ian Dunn. Hello, Ian.
Hello there, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Great to have you back on the show. I was just speaking to Matt there about this news on Manchester City. He gave a pretty good answer, so we won't dwell too much on it, but I'd love to get your reaction to this and the fact that they are, as things stand, banned from European club competition for two seasons. They've been fined €30 million as well. You kind of think that's a drop in the ocean for Man City, so not much of an issue. But being banned for two seasons not only has implications on the rest of the Premier League and who might go into Europe, but it has implications, surely, for the manager Pep Guardiola, because he is not, surely, not going to manage a team that aren't in the Champions League next season.
Well, as everyone probably around tea time tonight, I saw it, the breaking news coming through and a bit astonished, really. I mean, we knew something was in the offing, didn't we? Over the last few months, we knew there was something coming, but I didn't honestly think that they would go to these lengths. I temper it a little bit with the fact I think it's got to go to arbitration. They can appeal it, can't they? I believe.
They can, yeah. They're going to appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport.
Yeah, but I mean, let's assume their appeal fails. Then, yeah, I mean, massive repercussions for the Premier League, for Pep Guardiola and for Manchester City, because the players go there. The kind of player they want to sign go there to play Champions League football. There's no doubt about it. So your next two transfer windows for Manchester City, I'm really not sure what their model will be. And to attract players to a club, yeah, you're playing in the Premier League, you're playing potentially for Pep Guardiola, he might make his way. But I think lots of the top footballers want to play Champions League football, and if that's not an offer for 24 months, you know, it's 2.5 years really, then I think that it raises big question marks.
massive question marks. And we're seeing it in the Championship as well, aren't we? Sheffield Wednesday could face a points deduction as well before the end of the season. That is for an alleged breach of English Football League spending rules. It is all going off in football at the moment throughout all three tiers, all four tiers, I should say, of the English Football League and the Premier League. Sort of Macclesfield Town as well in problems in the lower tier. So everything happening all at once. Gents, I'm going to quickly move on now to Chris, the caller, because he's called in to ask about Huddersfield Town's inconsistency. What would you like to say, Chris? Are you there, Chris?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing? You wanted to call in about the inconsistency amongst the team.
Yeah. I just find that an annoying problem, really, because it's been the story of our season.
So, in terms of a win, last week and a defeat, of course, during the week as well, what are you putting it down to?
It's a hard thing to answer, really. But I think the inconsistency is particularly a problem because the two pundits that I saw commenting on what they think of us ahead of the Derby game, they just agree with what I think on the inconsistency.
So, Ian, I'm going to bring you in here with regards to inconsistency amongst the Huddersfield team. What are you putting that down to? Because we do look at the last four results, for example, one lost.
Yeah, with my rose-tinted blue and white spectacles on, Town had a terrible start to the season, hence a change of manager. They've brought a new manager in who's got new ideas. He has reinvigorated the squad, if you like. He's had to make a lot of changes. They've had injuries. They've had a lot of injuries. And all those things added up together add up to inconsistencies. You can't get a consistent pattern of players. Players missing in training. They turn up play on a Saturday. The manager's having to pick players that maybe aren't fully fit. You just don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I personally think they had such a choppy start. But I think you've got to look at the positive results and think that's what they're capable of. The dodgy results are down to the inconsistencies, possibly lads not being able to train properly, lads carrying little knocks, and also lads getting used to the new management style. I know he's been there a wee while now, but things take time, and he's headed in the right direction, but he's got to find that magical thing. The consistency has to come, and I don't want to be too pessimistic. I think that's something we're going to have to wait until he gets a good pre-season in with his team. Keep them up this season. That's the priority. Keep them up. Keep getting good wins now and again. If you lose a couple, fair enough. But stay up. Get into pre-season. And I think you'll see the inconsistencies will get ironed out. I'm sure they will.
Do you agree with that, Chris? What are you putting it down to, mate?
Yeah. How I look at the word consistency, I look at it from a results perspective that performances won't keep us up. We know performances are inconsistent, but it's a results business, and it's the results why we're languishing only 5 points above the drop zone. I would just like to stay more comfortably, but it might not look that way, and it might go right to the end of the season in terms of staying up.
Chris, thank you very much for joining us, mate. That was Chris there, just wanting to talk about Huddersfield Town's inconsistency. But gents, let's look at the results as two separate results, if you will, because a decent win over QPR on Saturday. QPR, by the way, in a horrendous kit. I don't know what that is, that sort of horrible minty blue bizarre type of kit, kind of a kit clash, which they, you know, you would have had anyway if they're wearing their home kit. But you'd think these teams will wear a kit that was completely different to the team that they're going to play against. But a decent win for the boys. And Steve Mounier, yet again, we spoke about him before, didn't we, Matt, about his current goal scoring form. But that is six now for the season for him, and all have come since the 21st of December.
Yeah, I think bringing in Harry Tuffelode on the left has rejuvenated him a little bit. I personally thought the Cowleys had maybe misjudged Steve Mounier a little bit. They seem to typecast him as a very much a target man that you could only sort of play aerially to. But I think he's got a little bit more to his game than that. And I think over the last sort of month or so, he's proven that he's got a little bit more to them as well. And I thought he was excellent against QPR. He was my man of the match. He held the ball up superbly, brought people in wide. And you can see when you've got somebody like Toffolo who's able to cross the ball from from the flank, which is something we've not really had all season, and he's a reason why we've not really played to his strength. You can see there's a different player coming out, and it's a penalty, but he's taking it brilliantly, and it's a player that's full of confidence.
He is indeed. And Ian, on those signings as well, Meunier not being one of those, of course, he was bought at the back end of, or the start, sorry, of a couple of seasons ago. But when you look at the players that have come in, you mentioned Toffolo there, Matt. Ian, Stearman's come in. We've got Emile Smith-Rowe that's come in on loan from Arsenal, of course. We've got Chris Willock as well. He's come in. So Andy yeah. King, another one from Leicester. So there's been a lot of turnover in January, some new personnel. I imagine it's not fair of us to expect them to hit the ground running and suddenly all gel together all at once.
No, I think that's a fair comment. It's there's so many changes, and the manager will have an idea of how he wants to play. And this is where the inconsistency comes. It's a big change around in first team, you know, their first team players. And they've come into a squad. There'll be lads in that squad who'll have their nose put out because they're not in the team. So training might, you know, I don't look at it just as results. I'm looking at everything, the behind the scenes thing. New players coming in will give the club a bounce as long as the players there get on with it, which I'm sure they will under the manager. I think he's got rid of some of the players that maybe he felt wouldn't react in a positive way to new signings coming in. But yeah, I think the signings have interest me, to be honest. There's youth there, but there's a lot of experience as well, which is something that Huddersfield are going to really need between now and the end of the season. And just going back to the first caller, I think it's going to be a choppy ride between now and the end of the season. I think if Huddersfield can just keep chipping away with the wins, and you know that when they're beating the good teams, like they do, you know, the victory over QPR was an excellent performance as well as win. And that's what they're capable of. But they're also capable of losing 3-0 at home to Cardiff. And unfortunately, that's where we are at the moment. That's where Town are at. They've just got to keep chipping away and hopefully get enough points on the board to stay in the Championship this season. And like I say, I think during the summer, Danny Cowley and his brother will get down to business and get the consistency right in that team. I'm absolutely certain of it.
Yep, that is Ian Dunn there, Huddersfield Town legend, of course. It's Derby up next for the Terriers, a repeat of that opening day defeat. It's time to avenge it, I think. We're going to be talking about that next with Matt and Ian on this, the Huddersfield Town Fan Show.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
The Huddersfield Town Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you for another 10 minutes or so before we say farewell for the evening. We've got Matt Shaw on the line from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Ian Dunn, Huddersfield cult hero, is with us too. Now, gents, let's look ahead to the game tomorrow at Derby County. Like I said, a repeat of the opening day defeat to start the season, not in particularly pleasant mood for Huddersfield, of course. Didn't get a win until the 1st of October away at Stoke City. Fortunes have been up and down since then, all over the place. Like you said before the ads, fellas, it's all about staying in the division. And one man who might help to catalyse that is a player that Danny Cowley has been speaking about this week, and that is Alex Pritchard. Don't know whether he will return tomorrow. Of course, hasn't played since November because of that cyst behind his knee, but he's back. He's back training. He's potentially in contention. Matt, will the return of Alex Pritchard give the team that bit of oomph they need for this run-in until the end of the campaign?
You would hope so. Apparently, when we signed Alex Pritchard, he had the cyst at that point, so he's had this for almost 2 years now, so it's a strange injury that's flared up. We've not really seen him much this season. At the start, Jan Zivert played him sort of left side, and it's not really his strength. But with Emile Smith-Rowe, and Emile Smith-Rowe's come in, and he's shown exactly what we've been lacking throughout this, you know, this season, with a good number 10 who's able to play and spin in tight spaces. And it'll be interesting to see if Alex Pritchard can work his way in, because Emile Smith-Rowe's been very impressive so far, but we do have further options in maybe pushing Emile Smith-Rowe to the flank and putting Pritchard at number 10. So he's not done a lot, to be fair, in 2 years, Alex Pritchard, so hopefully it's his time.
It is his time. Ian, what do you make of Pritchard? Because I've always looked at him. He started at Spurs, didn't he? He spent a bit of time at Norwich. I've looked at him as a player who's kind of on the cusp of being a decent player, but just needs that run of a few decent seasons of really getting into his rhythm. And I just feel like he hasn't been able to do that yet.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly there. He's a really good, tidy footballer. Very creative, fit, active, but he just picked up injuries at really bad times. He's missed chunks of football rather than, you know, the odd week here or there, he's missed chunks of. I still think we're yet to see the best of him, clearly. I think the fans would agree with that. But there's definitely a player in there. I think he could, you know, if Town can get him fit, he could be the guy between now and the end of the season that if he could just raise his game and come to the fore, he could be the guy that helps keep Huddersfield Town in the Championship. He's that good a player.
It is 7 points from seven games since the turn of the year, gents. And I know that 50 points tends to be that figure, doesn't it? That, you know, in the Premier League, it's get to 40 points and you'll stay up. Get to 50 points in the Championship and you'll stay up. If we go on the basis that there is 7 points from seven games thus far in 2020, 14 games left. If the club were to pick up a point, say, shall we say, on average in those 14 games, it will be on 49. Matt, do you think that is enough to stay in the division?
It's going to be a tricky one. I look at the Championship this year and I think at the top end, it's not as good as maybe previous years, but at the bottom end, there are certain teams that aren't as bad as previous years either. There's no sort of Bolton Wanderers. There's no, you know, sort of team that are cut adrift. I think all three of them at the bottom are still in there and fighting. Wigan have got a couple of good players. Barnsley have got a couple of good players like Carly Woodrow. So I don't think it's going to be cut and dried and it's going to go pretty close to the end. But I would imagine around 50 would be okay. Wigan, for the players they've got, are still struggling to put wins, you know, consistency together. And I suppose that's the issue at the bottom with us and others, is that you win one, you lose two. So again, it's just about who puts that run together.
And Ian, I want to come to you on this next particular point, because do recent records or long-standing records play into players' minds at all? We're talking about the type of stat that is Derby County being unbeaten in their past 23 home games against Huddersfield in all competitions. Now, when players hear that type of thing, does it affect them? We're talking different players, different squads, different teams, sometimes completely different eras. Is that purely fluff that is purely there to just have a talking point right now, like a radio show that we're doing? Or is there anything in that? Do players, do managers, do fans think about those records and go, oh, do you know what? We've not won there in 23. This one could be tough.
A little bit of everything there, to be honest. I think more so for Derby players, it might give them a lift, because they might think, hey, you know, this is a record where, for whatever reason, it's happening. But I would think as a Huddersfield Town player, they won't. You know, if the manager does even bring that stat up, he'd probably use it as a positive, as, come on, let's us be the team that you know, breaks the mould here. And it should raise their game. That's how I'd see it. I would see the players, you go out there and you raise your game and break, you know, someone's heart there. That's how football is. In no way, shape or form will Huddersfield Town go there tomorrow thinking, uh-oh, Derby are unbeaten here, we might struggle. They'll go in approaching that game as if, well, it's one for us to win. That's how I would see it. I think the manager would be exactly the same, even if he even brings that stat up. I honestly believe they'll have trained all week, they'll know what to expect from Derby, and they'll go out with a game plan to try and win the match, well, certainly try not to lose it.
Colin Grant is another player, Matt. Naturally, we're going to speak about him. Hasn't played for the past couple of games. I know that Danny Cowley has said the training ground's been in lockdown this week as they put players through their paces. Grant, do you think he'll play tomorrow? And if he does, and listen, quite a simple question, really, how much of an impact will he have? And more to the point, the fact that Steve Mounier has come bursting back into form, can those two play together?
They played together a little bit through December in a 4-4-2 system, and to be honest, it didn't really work particularly well. I think Carlin Grant works better coming in from the left hand side. I think when Carlin's facing away from goal, he's a completely different player than when he's facing towards it. When he's facing towards goal and he's coming in on his right foot, he's deadly. You know, he's one of the better players in this league. But if you push him away from goal and he's back to it, he's much less effective. I think the idea really is to get the ball into the right areas, to get Carlin facing. I think he must have scored seven, eight goals just from cutting in from the left onto his right foot this year. And I think it's about getting him in that position. And the best position to do so for me is for him cutting in from the left as a bit of an inside forward.
Okay. Gents, it's been a great show. Matt, I'm going to put you on the spot now. Please, a prediction, if you will, for tomorrow's game.
I think as long as we don't sit back and allow Chris Martin to bully us at the back, I think we can go there and get a point 1-1.
A point 1-1, says Matt Shaw from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Ian Dunn, what say you?
I usually go town blindly, but I think that's right. I think it's going to be a point. It'll be 1-1 or 2-2. Can I say that? Do I have to pick one?
No.
2-2.
2-2. There we go. Goals galore at Pride Park. Gents, thank you very much for joining me here on this, the Huddersfield Town Fan Show. Matt Shaw there from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. And Ian Dunn, the Huddersfield cult hero too. Great having him on the line every so often just to get that ex-player's perspective. Huddersfield travelling to Derby County tomorrow. Wayne Rooney, AL, of course, that was the game on the opening day of the season when Huddersfield hosted Derby, having come down from the Premier League, hoping for that quick return back to the top flight. And great quotes as well from Matt at the top of the show to kind of say that he feels a bit of a disconnect from the top flight with that news that Manchester City, of course, have been banned from all European club competition for the next two seasons. We'll be getting plenty more of that here on Love Sport, so make sure you stick with us over the course of the week, or forever, not just the course of the week. Stick with Love Sport from here on in to get all your latest sporting news. But Huddersfield Town hosting Derby County tomorrow in the Championship. Plenty of games too coming up over the course of the weekend, so make sure you stick with us. Tomorrow we start with Love Sport's Weekend Breakfast. We'll have all the build-up here on Love Sport leading in to the score from 3 p.m. We'll get the Championship post-match fan show as well from 8 p.m. We've got the Premier League reaction show. We've got League One post-match fan show. And we've got the League Two post-match fan show too. That is coming up on Love Sport tomorrow evening. For now, it is the end of our Friday night fan shows. We'll see you same time, same place next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.